Welcome to the Breast Cancer Podcast.
I'm breast surgeon, Dr. Deepa Halaharvi.
And I'm Monica Brooks, a breast cancer advocate.
And we are both breast cancer survivors.
We're here to talk about all things breast cancer.
From surgery to survivorship, we know firsthand the challenges a breast cancer diagnosis can bring.
We are here to tackle topics that impact our lives. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Breast Cancer Podcast. I'm Monica Brooks.
I'm Deepa Halaharvi. Welcome back.
And how have you been? I feel like we don't get to like catch up.
I know.
So it's November right now.
It is November right now. I'm trying to stay off of social media. So
okay.
October, you know, I posted something almost every day. And so it takes a toll on you. So mentally, I'm practicing what I'm preaching is to take time away from social media. So this month, I really haven't posted other than like a story or something here and there.
Okay.
So I'm doing great. Yeah.
That's good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Yeah. This year. I had my deep flap surgery in January.
Oh, yeah.
I had revision in June. I'm actually having my last revision in December. So next month, and just because I met my deductible, like I knew I wanted to like plan deep in January, and I knew nothing about deductibles insurance before breast cancer. So
yeah,
I have learned a lot and I've learned how to plan all of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great.
But we have a great topic.
Yeah.
We're talking about alcohol today. But before we do that, I just want to give a quick shout out to some of our audience.
Yes.
So I go on and I check the stats to see like what countries we're in and what cities we're in. Currently, we're in over 100 countries.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Okay, so I'm going to do the top 10 countries.
Okay.
So if you're listening in these countries, we see you and we're so thankful that you're here. United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Ireland, Germany, New Zealand, Philippines, India, and South Africa. So yay, thanks for joining
thank
us.
Thank you guys.
Everybody else, of course.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening to our podcast. That means a lot to us.
Thank you. And we also have the stats for the top 10 cities in the U.S.
I have top 10 cities. So Columbus, Ohio, of course. Ooh, Columbus.
Yeah.
Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Denver, Seattle, Hilliard, Dublin, Portland, and Brooklyn.
Awesome.
So
thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. We're thankful that you're here listening to the podcast. And we feel that today's topic is beneficial for all 100 countries, all people in all cities could benefit from today's topic on alcohol. And before we get into an interview with a breast cancer survivor and her relationship with alcohol, we just kind of want to talk about our relationship with alcohol too.
Yeah.
So I remember when I was first diagnosed, I literally within the first few days, I knew I shouldn't have been drinking alcohol, but I did anyway. Cause I'm like, you know what? I need something to help me cope with this diagnosis. And then I started chemotherapy and I was sober for probably about a year. I knew I shouldn't drink while going through chemo, and I didn't. And then I had learned so much about alcohol too. So this podcast isn't intended to judge, to shame. Yeah. I drink alcohol. Dr. Halaharvi, how about you?
I do occasionally. Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah, same. Occasionally. Yeah. I had a lot of fear around alcohol though. And that's why I had kind of stayed away from it. And I was at this retreat where they had these delicious, like there were like a spicy fall drink. And I was so scared to take that drink. But I did, probably because I didn't want to feel left out. And sometimes I think we drink for that reason too.
Yes, that is the social pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure, yes.
But I feel like let's talk about some of the risk factors first. And these aren't opinions. These are just facts that are out there about alcohol and their relationship to cancer.
Yeah, about 7% of all cancers are because of alcohol.
Wow.
And 4% of the men and women who die of cancer, any kind of cancer, is from alcohol. So 4 out of 100 people who are dying of cancer-related illnesses is from alcohol. And according to American Cancer Society, alcohol can cause 7 cancers: mouth, throat, voice box, or also the larynx, esophagus, liver, colon, rectum, and breast.
Wow. It's so interesting because I never knew the correlation between breast cancer and alcohol until after my diagnosis.
Yeah. Some of the ways that alcohol can affect a person is it raises the estrogen levels in the body. So that's linked to breast cancer. Alcohol is also linked to not only estrogen positive breast cancer, but also estrogen negative breast cancers. So there is increased head and neck cancers these days. And if someone is smoking and drinking, that's a double whammy. It causes damage to the DNA in the throat and neck. And so that can cause cancer. Alcohol converts into acetaldehyde, which is essentially, it's a chemical that it released into the DNA and damages the DNA. And those damaged cells can replicate and can cause cancer.
That's interesting because in looking up information, preparing for this podcast, that's a new word that I learned, and how it can really damage your DNA cells.
Yes.
And we need, as survivors, healthy DNA cells,
healthy,
right?
DNA is very, very important for us. Yes. It can also damage liver. It can cause oxidative stress, inflammation, and scarring, which can then lead to cirrhosis of the liver, can put someone at risk for liver cancer. It can slow down the body's ability to break down and get rid of harmful materials, like your liver is supposed to excrete out these toxins. It can delay that or slow it down.
Wow.
It can also affect the ability to absorb nutrients such as vitamin A, B, C, D, E, folate. Low folate levels are linked to breast cancer.
Okay.
And too much alcohol can cause extra weight gain. I feel like I gain weight right after I take a sip. I wake up the next day, my face is like, I feel like it's huge. I think it causes inflammation.
Okay.
And then you retain fluid. And so it leads to weight gain. So American Cancer Society tells the recommendations are no more than one drink per day for women and no more than two drinks per day for men. However, in our breast cancer world, there's research that shows even as little as two drinks per week can increase your risk of developing breast cancer.
Wow.
And since I'm talking about breast cancer, we should also talk about risk of recurrence. We don't have exact correlation, but you would have to think it can also increase the risk of cancer recurrence.
I think sometimes just because there's not studies done by it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Correct.
You know, but we work off of fact, we work off of studies done, but I think some things are obvious, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that there's some, just because there's no study doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Correct.
So that's really interesting. And I, you know, as I'm listening to this, I'm like, well, this is scaring the crap out of me to like have another drink. But that's not the intent. Our intent is to educate and empower.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that's why today's our guest on this podcast, she's amazing because she empowered herself. And, you know, and you have to listen to her story. It's very empowering and inspiring. It's all about educating ourselves and empowering ourselves.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we lose so much power. We feel we lose so much power with cancer.
Yeah.
We feel helpless. We feel defeated. And I feel like one way you can take your power back is by evaluating your relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
I was just in Vegas a few weeks ago this past week and sure, I had a drink, you know, did I have a drink every day? No. Did I have a drink to celebrate the conference being over and feeling like amazing? And I was like on cloud nine. Yeah, I did. But it's not a regular thing. So I feel like if, as listeners, evaluating your relationship with alcohol doesn't mean you're an alcoholic, you know, it doesn't mean you have a drinking problem. It's just evaluating, why am I drinking?
Right.
What is the true why? Are you trying to take away the pain?
Yeah.
Do you feel, Dr. Hala Harvey, and I don't know if anyone's ever talked about this, but like, is there any benefit to alcohol? Because you just went over a list of things.
Yeah.
You know, like, is there any like great cause?
I mean, medically speaking, there is really no benefit to alcohol. It's actually empty calories, you know? Mm. And so on one hand, I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting up early to exercise. I'm going to bed on time. I'm trying to get my 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Not really. I'm trying. I'm doing all these things. So when I'm drinking alcohol, then I'm negating what I just did. And so why am I doing this? You know, it's the thought that comes to my mind. There's really no benefits in my mind
of
alcohol, but I do drink occasionally. I don't want to say that I don't.
We're not shaming.
Yeah, we're not shaming because I do. But the frequency has gone down because I have, for myself, have not seen any benefits from drinking.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that's a great question. How is alcohol benefiting me?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
Because maybe we can't come up with anything. Here's what you had just talked on this. What's this word again? I can't pronounce
it. Acetaldehyde.
Acetaldehyde. This is what I had looked up and you had just talked about this. When DNA is damaged, a cell can begin growing out of control and create a cancer tumor. A toxic buildup of
acetaldehyde
can increase your cancer risk. That's on the CDC website is what I had found. And so it's just eye-opening. I think as I was even preparing for this, I was like, oh, geez, because American Cancer Society, did you already say this? American Cancer Society says two drinks per day for women is okay.
For men.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And one drink per
day. Oh, that's right. Why is it different? Is it because we have the estrogen?
It's different because of our body size. Women tend to be smaller than men.
Okay.
Yeah. And also on the same note of the acetaldehyde, there's acetaldehyde dehydrogenase. It's an enzyme. Sometimes that's lacking in Asians.
Hmm.
I feel like I may be lacking that.
Okay.
You know, being born in India, because I do think alcohol affects me a little differently than.
Interesting.
I don't think it gets metabolized.
Okay.
That's my personal experience.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting when we're just tasting it and drinking it, but the effect it has on our body, we don't necessarily see how your liver is responding, how it's trying to get rid of toxins, how it's impacting our liver negatively. I think too, as far as like the estrogen you talked about, regardless if your cancer's estrogen receptor,
positive,
it still impacts.
Right.
Why is that?
Estrogen positive or estrogen negative? That's what the research has shown.
Okay.
That it is linked to causing, you know, both types of cancer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing for me too is sleep. As someone who does not get enough sleep with my line of work, I get up early and work, you know, long hours, 12, 14 hour days. Alcohol impacts my sleep so badly, so negatively, where I wake up a number of times in the night to go to the bathroom.
Sleep is so important for so many things. I mean, I just think about your quality of life.
Yeah.
If I don't have good sleep,
the
next day is pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And alcohol can play a part into our sleep habits as well.
Not only it's linked to cancers, but also Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Weight gain. I mean, so many things.
Yeah. Well, we hope you are ready to listen to this interview that we have with Shannon. She is a breast cancer survivor based out of Canada, and she's going to talk about her relationship with alcohol, as well as where is she at today. So welcome, Shannon, to the podcast.
Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
You're beautiful. It's nice to meet you guys too. Aw, thank you. That's so nice. You guys too.
Well, we're excited to have you on here. I know just in our talking on Instagram, we met on Instagram. We've been friends on there for a while. And I felt like you would be the perfect guest to talk about alcohol, how it's impacted you. But first.
Yeah. Shannon, so tell us about your diagnosis.
I was diagnosed in September 2020. I'll go back a little bit further though. I had found a lump in February of 2020 and I had a scheduled mammogram for March 26th. And we all know what happened in between that time span. The world shut down and I have anxiety, diagnosed health anxiety. So when the pandemic hit, I was scared out of my mind and did not want to go to a hospital.
So you were diagnosed with health anxiety prior to your diagnosis?
Prior to my diagnosis and prior to the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah. So I decided I didn't want to go for the mammogram. So I canceled it. And they were like, are you sure? Because you're listed as priority. Because it was a breast surgeon that sent me for the mammogram. I didn't have a family doctor at the time because we had moved to a new city, but I had seen that breast surgeon 10 years prior for a lump.
Wow.
It's very confusing. Anyway, so he sent me for a mammogram. I canceled and they said, okay, just call back when you're ready, or we'll call you, I think they said, when things slow down. And they never called in June. And I was like, I'm just going to call back and rebook it. And they booked it for July. And immediately it was a mammogram and ultrasound. And immediately they were like, okay, they kept going, leaving the room and coming back, leaving the room, coming back. And I went for a biopsy. The technician actually said to me, the radiologist, this looks like normal tissue. I really think this is going to come back as normal tissue. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just like
relief. What a relief, right? Yeah.
And then a few days later, I got the call. That was September 4th, 2020. Estrogen and progesterone positive, HER2 negative.
So you had a scheduled mammogram, which you canceled. That was in March.
Yes.
And then you didn't get results. I mean, you had the mammogram after that, and then you had the results in September?
September.
Wow. So tell us about your staging.
Stage 1A and grade 2. My breast surgeon, just before he took me into surgery, was like, I know that I decided on a double mastectomy to flat. And he was like, I know you're really nervous about this decision and you feel horrible that you canceled your appointment. And he's like, I just want you to know that I truly don't think that we would have found this in March. So because of how small it was.
So that was kind of reassuring for you, right? Because I think you could have taken the road of, what could I have done differently? Oh, I could have gone to my mammogram back then. But he's saying basically, don't stress yourself out. Don't feel bad. Up. Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
They may not have seen it at that point anyway.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and he doesn't, he's like, I don't know for sure, but right. I just want you to know it's still very early and the outcome should be really good.
And as you know, Shannon, like tumors like this grow at a very slow pace.
Yes.
And so, you know, sometimes we see an abnormal mammogram and we say, come back in 6 months because it's not very, you know, worrisome at this point. And even if you waited 6 months, sometimes it doesn't change so much for the staging, assuming it's not like a grade 3 triple negative type of cancer. So, you know, those tend to grow a little faster. The hormone receptor positive cancer like you had tend to grow, you know, pretty slow.
Okay. So, yeah. And it wasn't the lump that I was feeling, by the way. That was just a cyst, like a benign. It was back, like deep under where I never would have felt it for a really long time.
Wow. And so the lump you were feeling wasn't even cancer?
No.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your double mastectomy, your flat.
Yes.
But I think one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on is because of your experience with alcohol and going sober. And I feel like this conversation can encourage a lot of women to think about things you went through as well. Are we saying everybody go sober from this podcast? No, we're not.
Yeah.
But if there was anyone who is thinking about it and really wants to cut out alcohol, I want to talk about your experience with alcohol and then how you decided and how you went sober. So maybe talk about what was your relationship with alcohol?
I've been drinking since I had my first drinking experience when I was 15.
Wow.
With one of my best friends in high school. That's a whole other story. But oh my gosh, it was not good. We got very, very, very sick. But so that kept me away from it for a while. But then high school ended and, you know, you move on and the party days begin. And I was a pretty significant partier when it came to drinking, but I never drank during the week ever. It was only on like special occasions and I never really got hungover. I like once in a while, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I ended up getting married in 2008. I'm skipping way ahead now, but my husband and I didn't drink a lot. I was actually pregnant for our wedding. We were already engaged and getting married and the wedding was planned and I found out I was pregnant like a month before. So I just drank ginger ale at the wedding. It wasn't a big deal. Like I didn't have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
I was
going to
say,
that time.
Like, it sounds very normal, like quote unquote normal. Right. You drink socially, maybe get a hangover every so often, but it wasn't like this big problem you had with alcohol in your life, is what it sounds like so far.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So time goes on, you know, we have kids and still we never drank during the week. I'm going to say it amped up probably when our third was born. I'd find myself buying a bottle of wine during the week to just, you know, chill out.
Decompress.
Decompress, exactly. And I remember I have anxiety. So, and I actually had postpartum anxiety with her. And I wasn't diagnosed until like 7 months after she was born.
Wow.
I went on medication and it was amazing. I'm so glad I did that. It was like the best thing I did. But I was still drinking through all of this. and breastfeeding. I feel awful about that now, but
there's worse things you can do as a parent.
It's true.
So don't worry.
It's true.
And this is like a no judgment area. So totally fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it really amped up during the pandemic, like 100%. I was drinking every day. And my husband travels for work, works crazy hours. Like he's gone a lot. He was gone a lot. He's still gone a lot. And I have three kids and the pandemic. And
when you say every day, mm-hmm. what was that, like morning, noon, and night? Or was it just a glass in
no,
the evening?
That's a good question, because I was really conscious of not drinking in front of my kids. I would wait until they were in bed. Sometimes I would have a glass of wine with dinner, and then it just started getting earlier and earlier. I never got to the point where I was a person that was drinking in the afternoon or the morning or anything like that. Not at all. And nobody ever thought I had a problem. It was like, no, you're normal. You're drinking
again,
like everyone else.
This sounds normal. This sounds like something a lot of us would do. So did you feel at some point you did have a problem?
So I kept trying to cut back. I felt like I was drinking too much. I just knew for myself, like I was getting drunk every night. This is like 3 to 5 beers or 2 glasses of wine. And that would get me drunk.
How do you define drunk for
okay,
you?
Okay, I'm not going to say drunk. I'm going to say like really super buzzed.
Okay.
And then on the weekends, sometimes I'd get pretty drunk and blackout.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like at bedtime, I wouldn't remember going to bed at night, or okay. I wouldn't remember certain things. I'd call it more of a brownout, I guess. And there were situations where I would blackout if we'd go out to a party or gathering. I had attempted to cut out alcohol for 90 days in 2019, fall of 2019. I made it 30 days. And then we got together with some friends and started drinking, and we had some drinks, and I was like, oh, forget it. And then it just amped up again.
How did you rationalize that in the moment? You're sober 30 days. What was the thing that said, I'm just going to have a drink?
We went down to our hometown to visit our best friends, and they were having a couple beers, and I was like, fine, it's not a big deal. I'll just have.
And I'm sure you were really proud of yourself anyway.
I was.
Like, hey, I went 30 days. Like, hey, I could have this because I've done 30 days already.
And that's what I thought. I'm fine. I don't have a problem. I could make it. I made it 30 days. I don't have a problem. But then I found after that 30-day break, it amped up really bad again. But now we're in the pandemic again. May of 2020, I tried to cut back again. I didn't make it that long.
Okay.
And then after my diagnosis, I still drank right up until my surgery. And then after my surgery, I went like maybe 30 days. And this was just organically. It's not like mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about not drinking. Mm-hmm. I just was healing. And I don't remember what the timeline was when I picked it up again, but I started drinking again. And I was like, I'm going to moderate. Only on the weekends, only 2 glasses of wine, like at the most. And then I got to the point where I was making rules like, okay, only 1 glass and only organic beer. And that's the funny thing. Like I was a very healthy eater, like quote unquote, everything about my life. I had cut out all like kinds of toxic chemicals, like, mm-hmm. and those things happened 10 years prior. Like I've always been that way, but yet.
I think it's interesting, Shannon, how we rationalize our behavior and we start to be more lenient and start to make excuses. Like, it's not that bad. I'll just do, you know, it's just interesting how our mind works with addiction.
Yes, totally.
Not to say you were this addict or this alcoholic. I wouldn't label that as you. You're just a normal person, like a mom.
Yes.
Who enjoys a glass to decompress.
And exactly.
I want to acknowledge that you weren't an alcoholic, but alcohol was a problem for you.
Yes.
It was problematic. You were dependent on it, whether mm-hmm. it was to unwind at night, to fall asleep, to just have a good time. It sounds like your everyday woman, honestly.
Yes. And to cope with my anxiety, which I now know it was making it worse. But I did not know that at the time. But
how did you learn that?
Podcasts.
Okay.
Sober podcasts. Okay. Sober Powered, actually. Jill, she talks about the chemistry of alcohol, like drinking and all that stuff. And that's where I learned that.
You mentioned the word sober. Mm-hmm. And that almost sounds like someone is an alcoholic again, but that's not truly what it means. You don't have to become, you don't have to call yourself sober, meaning that you had you were an alcoholic. Does that make sense? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. And you don't have to hit rock bottom to decide that you don't want to drink anymore.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the moment where you made the decision that this was it.
So I tried to do dry January this year.
Okay, and I made 2023.
2 days.
Oh, Shannon, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for keeping it real.
I was like, oh, well, forget it. Like, I don't even remember what the thought process was, but I made it 2 days and I was like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it got to the point, there were many mornings between then and when I decided to quit in June, where I was crying in the morning, praying to God that I could just cut back. I just wanted to be able to moderate like a normal person and be able to drink when I wanted to. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I tried to moderate and be a normal drinker, the worse it got.
Wow.
I was like, we'd buy enough alcohol just for the weekend and then it wouldn't necessarily all be gone.
Hmm.
And Sunday would roll around and I'd be like, okay, no, we'll drink this wine and then we won't have any more during the week. And then I'd find myself pulling into the LCBO. I'm in Canada. So
what's LCBO? Where we buy
it's where you buy your alcohol.
Okay.
I'd be pulling in there to go grab a couple bottles of wine for my husband and I, cause he was going to be home during the week. And I couldn't stop. And then I started listening to some sober podcasts,
mm-hmm.
The Sober Mom Life, and listening to like real stories about other moms and women. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is all me. Mm. Like, this is not my fault. It's the alcohol.
Mm.
Like, it's a highly addictive substance. Like, it's not my fault. So I was still trying to moderate. And then Father's Day weekend rolled around. And I was like, okay, only Friday and Saturday. And then on Father's Day, I ended up drinking again. And I was like,
because it was Father's Day, right? Like, exactly. Let's celebrate.
There's always a reason. I drank to celebrate. I drank when I was sad. I drank when, like, for anything. And I just said, you know what? I had a talk with my husband. I was like, I need to stop. I need to be done. I don't know for how long. I don't know if it's forever, but it's for now. And I'm not putting a time, like, because I found when I did that, when you try and do the challenges and stuff, there's always an end line where you can drink again. So I was just like, no, like, I need to be done. And that was it. June 19th is my first sober day.
And today, as we're recording, is November 19th, Shannon.
Yes.
So months.
Yes.
Wow.
Five months.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations, Shannon. Yeah. I think that is awesome. And I never really thought about that as far as like the end date, because you're mm-hmm. anticipating, when can I have a drink again? Yes. Versus I'm really done. There is no end date to this.
Right.
I think it's amazing. And I think people will be inspired by your story. Is there any piece of advice for someone who may be just like you and that they drink the way you did to celebrate, to wind down, but have considered going sober? What words of advice would you give them?
The best advice I could give probably is to just arm yourself with all the things you need. Be prepared. Like, I had non-alcoholic beverages available to me at all times. Anytime we went to a gathering, I would bring my own non-alcoholic beers and sparkling water, like whatever it is that you would like to drink instead. And in the beginning, I had an AirPod in one ear all day long, listening to podcasts, listening to Quitlet books. And I feel like that's what helped me the most, listening to other people and knowing, learning the science behind it. And like, I learned so much about breast cancer and alcohol. It just floored me. I can't believe that there aren't warnings on alcohol.
Yeah. And researching some information for today, talking about alcohol, I read somewhere like this should be on label, like this should be part of the labels that this would increase your risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as survivors, and Dr. Harvey, we've talked about being empowered.
Yeah. When you were saying that, when you're listening to the podcast and educating yourself, I was thinking, gosh, that's what this podcast is all about. It's about empowering others with knowledge. And a lot of times you have to seek it yourself. And your story, Shannon, is pretty, probably every other household has a person like with what you just described, you know.
Yes.
You're not an addict, but you're drinking, you know, fairly commonly, which can result in a number of different health related things, right? I mean, in the future, weight gain, risk of cancer. There's seven cancers that can be caused from alcohol, weight gain, and of course, you know, obesity and just a number of different things that alcohol can bring up.
Actually was told in the fall of 2022 that I had fatty liver. And none of it showed up on my blood work enzymes, but they saw it on an ultrasound. And everybody kept saying, when like a lot of the women in the groups, oh, you're right, everybody, like they all lose weight right away, and I was not losing any. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I had been gaining and gaining for a while, and all of a sudden at like the 3 month mark, and after listening to Jill, she talks about that's the point basically when your liver has like really detoxed and like starts shedding the fat. And then I just started losing like,
wow. So it took that crazy period of time. It wasn't right away.
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No. And now it's like falling off.
Yeah, alcohol, I mean, amongst a number of other things, it can cause inflammation of the liver, scarring of the liver, can lead to cirrhosis, which then can lead to liver cancer.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that alcohol, and there is not a safe amount, you know what I mean?
Yes. But
I mean, like you said, you use it to celebrate, you use it when you're sad, you use it when you have gatherings, you use it, you know, it's just like everyday life thing for in a lot of people.
Yes.
But yeah, you're just such an inspiration to women listening to this podcast and listening to your story. So thank you for being so vulnerable, and thank you for sharing your story.
Absolutely. I want to ask you one last question, Shannon, before we go, that I think could help other survivors challenged with this. There comes a time where you have to decide, am I going to drink this or am I not going to drink this? Right. You've had these a lot. And a lot of times you've moved forward with the drink, you know, second day in January this year, or after so many months sober. What do you say to yourself now? Like, you know, you're not going to have that alcohol, but like, what's the conversation, the dialogue going on in your head that you decide I'm not going to have that drink?
Oh, I play the tape forward.
What do you mean?
And think of how I would feel the next morning if I did that mentally. And it's more the mental part of it than the physical part. I missed out on a lot of things with my kids when they were little. Because I was hungover, and I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. And I know that if I have that one drink, and a lot of that has to do with educating myself and learning about all of that, now I don't even want the drink because I know if I have one, it's never going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you've changed your brain.
Yeah.
Honestly, by going sober, like the way, like these connections in your head. Now the thing that you craved, you no longer want.
Yeah.
Holy smoke, Shannon.
I know, that's crazy.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that is so powerful.
I guess another thing, it made me sad to think, like I had a grieving period too with like when I quit. And it's more about the habit of the whole thing and the ritual part of it.
Yeah.
Rather than the substance.
That's interesting. It almost feels like how you, like when there's a death and you have your mourning period, right?
Yes. So I definitely had a mourning period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I cried.
Shannon, I think you really should write a book.
This is so really inspirational.
Because I think this is really, this will like touch, I mean, you're speaking to me.
I'm ready to go sober.
I know. I'm being, it will really impact a lot of women. So, and men too, mm-hmm. but yeah. Wow. So I would, you should really think about writing a book.
That would be awesome.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
So now that's for you to do.
Yeah.
Before we go, how do you cope now that you don't have alcohol?
Oh, that's a good question. Music, lots and lots of listening to music. Yeah. That's my thing. Singing. I'll have a nice hot shower. Yes. And the podcasts, and mm-hmm. I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep when I need it. I go to bed when I'm tired.
Because it disrupts your sleep too, right?
Alcohol disrupts. Big time.
It's terribly bad for sleep. And
I would wake up.
There's not so much research on sleep and even, you know, longevity and cancer risk and Alzheimer's risk. And I mean, there's so much coming out. Yeah.
Alzheimer's too. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Lack of sleep. And I did want to say one more thing. I do not judge anyone who drinks.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I'm glad you said that because I honestly, since I knew we were going to do this podcast, I didn't want to post anything alcohol related because I've been in Vegas for a couple times this past few months and you were on my mind. I was like, I don't want to trigger Shannon in any way. So I didn't post any alcohol pics intentionally because of you.
Oh, that's nice.
Don't worry. Okay. That's so sweet. Yeah, honestly, I don't judge.
That's good.
Totally everyone's
the personal journey
I shouldn't say choice because sometimes it's not, but exactly, it's everyone's journey. And
if someone wanted to reach out to you on that's listening, how could they do that?
That's a good question.
Is your Instagram, I don't remember if your Instagram
it's
is
private.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're going to start a new Instagram handle called Sober with Shannon.
I've honestly really been thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Sober with Shannon. I'll see if that's taken.
Yeah. And I think it could just share your story and, how you're still, I mean, things can still be challenging, even though you're 5 months and that's amazing. I think more people need to hear it, not just our breast cancer community, but other people as well. Why you decided to do this, how you're doing it, how do you overcome obstacles? So hopefully you'll get that handle started before I post this.
Okay.
And then it'll be at Sober with Shannon on Instagram and I'll get you there.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, Shannon, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks. Absolutely. Okay. All right. We'll talk later, Shannon. Bye.
Yes. Take care.
Bye.